Right. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio here, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. Here until 5 o'clock, I'm Nick DiGilio, and at 5 o'clock, following this show is the opening bell with Steve Grzanich, and then at 6 o'clock, you got your morning drive with the great Steve Cochran. Coming up a little bit later on the show, we're going to be talking about the best TV catchphrases, superfans who go overboard, and to play another round of Know Your Onion. That's all coming up right here on the show. It is Wild Card Wednesday. Get your requests in. We'll play them later. Yeah. That's any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Okay. Our good friend Jim Ryan joins us usually about once a month. He's a contributor to Forbes.com. He writes about music and he interviews musicians and all kinds of cool stuff. You can follow him on Twitter at Radio Jim Ryan, and he joins us this morning. Jim, how are you?
I'm good, Nick. Recovering still, but not too bad.
Recovering from the Lollapalooza weekend.
Yes.
We're going to go through that. And you also went to... It's been a little bit... You were here before you went to Pitchfork?
Yeah, I think right before Pitchfork. I think right before.
Yeah, and that was the weekend where it was 190 degrees.
Yes, it was, which usually we get at Lollapalooza, but not this year.
Yeah, so I remember, because we had our good buddy Esmeralda.
Right, I ran into Esmeralda at Pitchfork, yes.
Did you? Mm-hmm. She came by for a visit a couple of Fridays ago, the Friday right before Pitchfork, and we had some fun, obviously, and she said, yeah, I'm going to Pitchfork. I'm like, enjoy the heat.
Yeah, that's... yep.
But my God, didn't even leave. I have one window unit in my bedroom.
Okay,
and the rest of my apartment is not air conditioned at all.
Oh God!
So I stayed with my parents.
Oh man,
I stayed for 3 days with my folks.
I'm in a garden unit now for the first time.
Oh well, that helps.
It's like a built-in air conditioner a little bit, so we don't really have to kick it on too often, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, no, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. I live on the second floor, so yeah,
good times.
But yeah. But anyway, that weekend it was really, really hot when you went to Pitchfork.
Yes, it was.
How did that affect the activities?
Well, it wasn't even just the heat. We got a lot of rain that weekend, too. Saturday, it rained in the middle of the afternoon, maybe like 4 o'clock, and they evacuated the park because of that, which is always at a festival when you're evacuating tens of thousands of people onto city streets. It's never easy. It's never efficient, especially getting back in.
Yeah.
Then they're in a hurry. That seems like the time to sneak in, actually, when they're hoarding thousands of people back into the festival.
Yeah.
Just skedaddle on in.
Well, we were, you know, like my parents live on the Northwest side, and it came and went pretty quickly.
Quick. Yeah.
It was intense. Yeah. Like, it was like, whoa, like end of the world kind of stuff for about 5 minutes, and then... You know, lasted about 10 more minutes and it was done. But it dumped a lot. It dumped a lot of water, though. It dumped a lot of rain.
Yeah, it was really muddy in Union Park. Saturday was the day that was impacted by that the worst because there was actually a set cancellation because of it. Once they resumed, everyone performed except Kurt Vile. Kurt Vile was supposed to perform, I think, at like 5 or 5:30, and he actually got outright canceled.
Yeah.
So that was Saturday. And then Sunday, it rained again, but that was in the morning, so it delayed the gates opening, but nobody was canceled. Everything went on as scheduled. So it could have been worse, but it was quite muddy in Union Park on Sunday, so that's... Yeah. Always
so,
fun.
So there's a Pitchfork. So let's talk a little bit about you wrote about some of that stuff. Who were some of the highlights at Pitchfork this hot and wet year?
Mavis Staples. She's unbelievable. And she was on Friday evening, I believe, at 6 o'clock. She wasn't headlining. Haim was headlining, and Mavis Staples was on
with
earlier.
The weirdest bass player.
Yeah.
Haim, the weirdest woman. I don't know what's going on with her.
Yeah.
Every time I see them perform, I'm like, what's wrong with her?
It was an amazing thing, too, because Mavis Staples comes out on stage at 80 years old in 100. It's still 100 degrees out, right? Yeah. And she absolutely kills it. The heat is no issue whatsoever. You know, she's telling these, you know, unbelievable stories about, you know, performing with her family band, the Staples Singers, and marching for civil rights with Martin Luther King. I mean, she's got...
Yeah,
stories
no, yeah,
with depth, right?
Absolutely.
And then Haim comes out in the... It was... I think if they had been on after anyone but her, you wouldn't even notice something like this. But they come out, and the deepest story we got from the Haim sisters was the time the three of them were at a birthday party together, and they were really upset that the DJ wouldn't play their Paula Cole requests. And then they proceeded to cover Paula Cole twice. two consecutive Paula Cole covers. Oh, I was like, there's a real juxtaposition here between the two worlds that these two groups grew up in, the Staple Singers versus Haim. I was like, wow, this is
yeah,
something here.
Yeah. Well, had you ever seen Mavis Staples before?
I've seen her a bunch of times, yeah, but not in a couple of years. And, you know, she's another one like Buddy Guy, where every year I go see Buddy Guy in January when he does his residency at Legends, and you kind of go, you go in there a little with a little trepidation, yeah, of going, I hope this isn't the year. You go, oh, man, it's starting to go.
Yeah.
And it never is. And, I mean, Mavis Staples, my God, at 80 years old in that heat, I'm out there, right, like, oh, this heat.
Yeah.
She's up there killing it on, yeah, stage, and she's just phenomenal.
I've seen her a couple times. She's amazing.
Her new album
is amazing.
She's in the middle of this. This is kind of what I wrote about, that she's in the middle of this career rebirth where I think over the course of 7 studio albums since 2007, 3 with Jeff Tweedy producing, 1 with M. Ward producing, the new one is Ben Harper producing on it.
Wow.
I think those artists have really introduced her to a whole new, you know, age group, and it's
right,
really something to watch, especially at a festival, because then you see the younger end.
Well, what was the crowd like?
It was really mixed. Pitchfork, to me, is always really mixed. I never know who they're even aiming, you know, the lineup at, because you have Mavis Staples and then Haim and then the Isley Brothers. It's, to me, that lineup is all over the place in a good way. But
yeah,
so you did have quite a mix of young and old. It was all over the place.
Now, how long did she play?
An hour.
She did an hour.
She did an hour set.
Okay.
And she did Staples Singers covers. You know, it's this to see Mavis Staples in 2019, I mean, she had the most pointed political commentary on stage of the weekend with the stories and the experiences to back it up, right? I mean, everything that's going on in the world, that's not exactly new to her.
Yeah.
But she was, you know, it was astounding. She's covered for a while in her set, Slippery People by the Talking Heads.
Mm.
And I think it's more appropriate than it's ever been in 2019. It was a pretty impressive set.
Yeah, she's great, man. And again, as you said, 80 years old, 100 degrees outside.
Kills it.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. I couldn't last 5 minutes in
that's
that kind of heat.
Exactly.
And,
right.
And here yeah, she is, 80 years old, killing it. But she's always great. I mean, she's always been, uh-huh, great. I mean, it's just, it's amazing. Isley Brothers, how were they?
This is one of those ones. I don't know that ever in my life I expected to find myself front and center at an Isley Brothers concert, and yet, thanks to Pitchfork, there it was. I forgot what kind of an impact they had on 90s hip-hop.
Oh, yeah.
They had so many songs that were sampled by some of those artists. I would say maybe second only to George Clinton,
yeah,
in that regard. And they opened up with a couple of them right in a row. They did the one that Ice Cube samples, and It Was a Good Day.
Yeah.
They did that one. I can't even think of the name of it now. Between the Sheets, that's the one that Notorious B.I.G. yeah, sampled, right? So they did both of those right in a row, as if to, you
yeah,
know, for the younger end of the crowd, like, have you heard this before?
Yeah.
Does this sound familiar?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, I love the Isley Brothers.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, they're great.
I didn't realize how many hits they've had. I mean,
when
they closed with Shout, and I'm like, that's right, that's the Isley Brothers.
Like, yes, it is.
It's crazy.
You think of Otis Day and the Nights, but in fact,
exactly
it was the
of
Isley Brothers.
Yes.
Yeah. So, all right, Jim, hang on, okay?
All right.
All right, Jim Ryan is with us. He writes about music for Forbes and other places. You can follow him on Twitter at Radio Jim Ryan. We'll talk more about Pitchfork. We've got Lollapalooza interviews, all kinds of great stuff. We'll play a little music trivia, too. All that right here on 720 WGN after the news, which is next. Right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5 a.m. We're going to be talking about some of the most memorable and the best TV show catchphrases. We got Sometimes Superfans Go Too Far and another round of Know Your Onion. So get ready for that. Right now, though, Jim Ryan is with us, contributor to Forbes.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at Radio Jim Ryan. And he writes about music and goes to lots of concerts and festivals and all that cool stuff. So we're catching up with Jim. And we'll play a little Music IQ. Are you ready for another edition of Music IQ?
I don't think I'm ever ready.
Did I win the last one?
I think you did win the last
one,
yeah.
I think I did. Okay. Well, let's see.
I think Tom started out big time and then fell off a cliff.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. I think you may be right. It's funny because, like, off the air, we were just talking about how much we love the show Barry.
Yeah. So good.
Because you asked if I was going to go to Wizard World, and you're going to Wizard World for one reason and one reason alone.
Henry Winkler. I got to meet the Fonz.
You got to meet the Fonz. Yeah. And but we were that's got us talking about Barry, and then that got us talking about the Lily Ronnie episode.
Oh my God.
Of Barry, which is one of the greatest episodes of television I've ever seen in my life.
That kid is hilarious.
She's unbelievable. The little girl is unbelievable. Yeah. We were just talking about how Steven Root finally got an Emmy nomination.
First
time he's ever been nominated.
That in itself is astounding.
Yeah.
But when I started watching Barry, it was on your recommendation, mm-hmm. and I didn't know that Steven Root was in it.
Oh, yeah.
And when I turned it on and he's on my TV, I was like, yes.
Yeah. No, fantastic. Everything about that show is great. So enjoy Wizard World and meeting Henry Winkler.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. All right. Let's get back to Pitchfork, as we were talking about that hot, wet weekend. Isley Brothers, you said, were awesome.
They were
obviously
so good.
Mavis Staples. Goes without saying.
She's always, yeah.
Who else did you see? You saw Stereolab, Bell and Sebastian?
Stereolab, Bell and Sebastian. Bell and Sebastian were doing an album, a 90s album, all the way through. And those kind of performances are always, they're hit or miss to me at a festival, especially something like Bell and Sebastian, where there's such lush, delicate instrumentation. I think they had a 6-piece string section on stage with them. That's not difficult. That's not easy to pull off in Union Park, but they did a nice job with that.
Mm-hmm.
Stereolab is reunited, and I didn't know much about them, honestly, going into it. That's an interesting thing. Are you familiar with them?
Not really.
It's a lot of electro pop.
That's what
French vocals on a lot of songs. Not all of them, but a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
So it was different, for sure. They were the first band on after
the storm.
Park reopened the storms on Saturday. Yeah.
Okay. And who else?
What else did I see? That's a good question, Nick. I should pull up my...
the festival is 3 days long,
Three days, yeah. That's...
Friday through Sunday.
Friday through Sunday in Union Park, so... Mm-hmm. Pitchfork is always an interesting one. Always fantastic people watching. That's really where you get your hipster invasion of Chicagoland.
Oh, is that right? Is that right?
You see a lot of 1989 NBA jerseys, you know, all of these... All of these things that we associate with hipsters in 2019.
1989 NBA jerseys.
Have you not seen this trend like during festival season where you just see like a horde of like 15 people walking down the street in old basketball jerseys? This is the thing.
Yeah,
now.
I don't go out.
The hoopsters.
I don't go out much.
this is what you're missing.
Again, I'm missing all this. Tom, are you familiar with this?
Yeah. Have you not seen me wear my Seattle Sonics jersey?
I don't.
Are you a hipster, Tom?
I am not, but my brother associates. He's a bit younger than me, about 4 years younger than me. And whenever he has friends around, they're all inexplicably wearing, you know, 80s and early 90s basketball jerseys. I just don't know why.
When did this start?
A couple of years ago.
I don't even know what's going on anymore. I'm an old man. I'm an old man. That's all there is to it.
A couple of years ago, I ran into a cousin of mine from Kansas at Lollapalooza. Didn't know he was going to be there, and I see him walking toward me. It's just like, nice Muggsy Bogues jersey. Where did you find that?
Why isn't that specific? I don't understand. I just don't get it.
I want to go dig all of them out of my parents' basement and sell them on eBay while this is still a thing.
Well, sure. You can make some
dough. Sixers Sean Bradley jersey? I got you covered.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. No, it's a thing.
All right. Now, so I do want to mention, I've been talking about how I'm an old man. I don't think, Tom, I don't think you've heard the story about this quote right here.
I am just an old man trying to get some wedges.
So that's what happened was, this was a bunch of years ago when I was living in Andersonville. I lived about 4 blocks away from a Kentucky Fried Chicken, a KFC, which is, you know, a Clark and Ashland where the Jewels is. It's a bank now, but it used to be a KFC.
Okay. So I live a couple blocks from there.
Yeah, I live right around the corner from there. So I lived at Balmoral and Palina, so I would just go right there. So I go in there one day. And I'm online at the KFC, and there's an old man in front of me, okay? And he didn't seem very happy about anything, and so, but there was a really overly friendly woman working the counter.
Okay.
Like, hi, sweetheart, how you doing, honey? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is fine, you know,
sure.
It's nice.
It's place, yeah.
Person, you know, the person wants to make people feel good, calling them honey,
wonderful.
Sweetheart. Oh, it's nice day, have a wonderful day. You know, like that kind of thing. Just very cheery, wonderful kind of person. Like to call people sweetheart and honey and all that stuff. She was doing it for everybody that would come up. and the old man gets up there, and he's just kind of great. He, you can see he's got the posture of, like, you know, he's bent over and he's like the dude from Up, you know.
Okay.
So he walks up to the counter, and she's like, "How are you this morning, sweetheart?" And he's like, "Don't call me sweetheart." And she's like, "Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. No, look, don't call me honey. Don't call me sweetheart. You don't have to say hi to me. I'm just an old man trying to get some wedges." Because he wanted the potato wedges.
Right. Yeah.
So when I heard that, I busted out laughing.
I would too. Yeah.
And so I am
just an old man trying to get some wedges.
That's all he wanted. He didn't need to be called sweetheart or anything. So whenever I talk about being an old man, I usually bust out that clip.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm just an old man trying to get some wedges. And he was, and then she just was very, very quiet. He got his wedges and he left.
She gave him some wedges.
And I came up and she's like, "How you doing, sweetheart?" And I'm like, I don't want wedges. I'm fine. Don't worry about it.
Well, now you can be an old man trying to get your, Detroit Pistons Dennis Rodman jersey.
I don't understand. I just don't understand kids. I don't know what's going on.
I seriously want to sell all of these on eBay.
I think you probably could. I mean, if that's a thing, I swear to you, I don't go out anymore.
Penny Hardaway, Orlando Magic.
I especially don't go out where there are young people. I just don't. I don't do that. And
you should really.
So I have no idea what's going. No way.
One day out of the four,
could not pay me to go to Lollapalooza. No way would I go to Lollapalooza. I almost went to Pitchfork when the Mats reunited.
That was Riot Fest,
right? That was Riot Fest.
That's another one every September. I'm like, come on, Nick.
Yeah. Well, that's the only one. That's the only one. Riot Fest is the only one that I would ever be tempted to go to.
That's the most mellow crowd of all of these festivals.
It usually has the best lineup, or the lineup that I would like the most. But the Mats played a couple of years ago.
They were great.
I know they were.
Well, come this year. Come this year to Riot Fest. We'll go see Slayer.
You got to go see Slayer.
Come on. Yeah. All right. Have you ever seen Gwar?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. See, because I've told people this before. You have to, at one time in your life, at least one time in your life, you have to see Gwar. It is absolutely necessary. I've only seen him once.
I would like to go see them when they do, like, House of Blues or something, because I've only seen them at Riot Fest. I've only seen them at festivals.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. I saw them twice. I saw him twice, and both times at the Riv.
Okay.
And
were you eaten by the thing?
I was not eaten by the thing. I was up in the balcony, so I was away from the bodily fluids.
That's the perfect way to
Although
do it.
Although they do shoot the bodily fluid. It does get up into the balcony. But it's just
like Gallagher.
No, it's not like seeing
good
Gallagher.
Good nights and bad nights.
No. But seriously, they're all the members of Gwar, and even it's sad because a few of them have passed. But they're theater geeks.
Oh yeah,
they're high school theater.
You can see that in their sets.
Absolutely, they're theater dorks.
Oh yeah,
and I don't own a Gwar album. I don't listen to Gwar.
You don't celebrate the entire catalog?
No, I do not. It's not like I'm at home going, I think I'll put on some Gwar. I've never done that ever. But the two shows that I've seen are unbelievable. They're unbelievable. You have to see Gwar.
I say every year following Riot Fest that perhaps my favorite moment at that festival every year, going on 5 or 6 years now, is when they trot Gwar in full costume through the media section,
right?
Because people who don't know it's coming and who don't know who it is and who are just back there because there's cheap alcohol start looking around like, what the hell is happening? And the looks on people's faces as Gwar just trots through it like nothing's out of the ordinary is my favorite.
You've got like they rip babies out of things and they shoot all kinds of bodily fluids all over the place. Yeah. And it's ridiculously theatrical and absolutely entertaining.
Every year I get an interview with Gwar that lasts about 2.5 minutes and is totally unusable in any place I write about. And I do it anyway.
Tom, when have you seen Gwar?
I think I caught him at Riot. They've played Riot Fest before.
They are one of two artists who have performed at every Riot Fest.
Seriously?
One of two artists who
performed
the other at everyone.
One?
Come on, you know this. No. Andrew WK.
Oh, right.
Oh, jeez. Party hard.
That's right.
That's right. And you've hung out with Andrew WK.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
at,
that must
be your Riot Fest.
At Riot Fest. When so Riot Fest coming up in September?
September 13th through the 15th.
Now, who are some of the headliners?
Tom mentioned Slayer. That's pretty great. Okay. They're billing that as the final Chicago/Milwaukee appearance, even though
for Slayer?
Even though there's an appearance in Rockford, which apparently doesn't count.
That's not a Chicago area?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
That's Rockford, baby.
That's an amazing lineup, though, by the way. It's Slayer, Primus, Phil Anselmo doing only Pantera, and there's one more band on there. There's a fourth band. A Ministry.
Oh, my God. Oh,
Ministry. Ow. Ministry, Phil Anselmo, Primus, and Slayer.
Wow.
How was that for an amazing...
That's something. That's something.
In Rockford.
Yeah.
If you've or not, Moline. If you, it might be Moline.
If you've not seen...
Either way.
Primus, that's another band that you should see. Primus is pretty insane. I went to the last time I saw him was in that 3D... was the 3D tour, which makes a lot of sense since everything is in 3D.
Yeah.
But that Claypool man, he's something.
Oh, he's
something, man.
Les and Al Jorgensen on the same tour. That's
on the same bill.
That's amazing.
Oh my God!
Do you think Ministry will do the early stuff?
Yeah,
they've been doing a lot of the early stuff,
like with Sympathy.
They've actually been doing they did 6 months ago maybe. They did a show at House of Vans, where they were following a screening of the Wax Trax documentary.
Oh, yeah.
And they did an entire set of Wax Trax stuff.
Yeah, okay.
They
did
Every Day is Halloween. They did a lot of that stuff that I couldn't believe they were doing.
They didn't do... Did they do Work for Love? Did they do that?
I don't remember now. I got to look it up.
Yeah, well, Wax Trax, that makes sense. I mean, it had to be a celebration for that. But I'm surprised that Al Jorgensen would even think about doing those.
Yeah,
he
said it. He's like, he's all mad up there. He's like, I don't usually play this stuff.
Yeah.
We don't usually do this, but we're doing it anyway.
Well, he spit at my friend for bringing
this story.
Like, what the hell happened after that first album?
that's what happens when you ask Al a question like that.
He was not in good shape at that time. He kind of staggered into the common room, was like, you know, the dreadlocks,
right.
The whole thing. All right. So what now? What about what's going on at not Pitchfork?
At Riot Fest?
At Riot Fest, yeah.
Bikini Kill. That to me is pretty cool. Kathleen Hanna.
Okay.
Reprising that. Your headliners are Blink-182, Slayer, Bikini Kill, The Rock on Tour, So Jack White is Back, Rise Against, The Flaming Lips, Jawbreaker, Ween, Patti Smith, Taking Back Sunday, Rancid, Violent Femmes, The B-52s, and The Village People, Nick. The Village People will be at Riot
Fest.
See,
here's the thing. That's a lineup that I could go with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, like you mentioned a bunch of bands that I would really enjoy watching.
Yeah. That's always... To me, that's my favorite one every year.
Yeah, no, clearly.
It's
whenever we talk about the festival,
it's an older crowd.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
wait.
It's my age.
Yeah, they're here. Hold on a second. Yeah.
I am just an old man trying to get some wedges.
You're going
to
hear that throughout the park. All right. Hang on, Jim. We got a lot more to talk about. We haven't even got to Lollapalooza yet, but we will. Jim is here. Jim Ryan. He's a contributor to Forbes.com. We're going to do some music trivia as well, play a little Music IQ. It's all coming up right here. If you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. Dude, this was when Ministry was good. That's when Ministry was good.
They're still fantastic.
What the hell happened after that first album?
Don't let Al hear this.
No. Yeah, I'm sure Al's listening.
He's seething.
He's driving around in his Lamborghini going 90 down Ashland. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here. Coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. So there you go. There's Al Jorgensen. Nick DiGilio here, and Jim Ryan is here. And we're talking about music and all kinds of other cool things. Tell me about did you see Nana Cherry?
Yeah, she was at Pitchfork.
Yeah,
yes.
Tell me about that.
That was fantastic. I didn't know what to expect from that. I don't know much of her catalog outside Buffalo Stance.
Yeah,
which she closed with, by the way.
Yeah. I just have that album. I know that album.
She's never stopped putting stuff out. She was up there with a full band. She had a harp player on stage, because if you're going to deliver Buffalo Stance, Nick, live, you certainly obviously need a harp player to accomplish that. But she was wonderful. Like, Yeah, I was blown away by how good she was. And she was on the blue stage, which is the small stage kind of offset into the corner at the festival. And mm-hmm. she was fired up. She was firing away on our president. She was quite great.
Yeah. Okay.
That's another one. There were so many acts this year at Pitchfork that it was like, I can't believe I'm seeing these artists in 2019.
Yeah.
And again, in a totally good way.
You know, her brother, Eagle Eye.
Stepbrother or half-brother or something.
Half-brother, I know that they're... It's Eagle Eye Cherry. And what the hell was his... He had one hit.
Save Tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Save Tonight.
Wait, hold on. Eagle Eye Cherry is a guy's name?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was just a band name.
No, it's the guy. Eagle Eye Cherry.
Save Tonight. Yeah, he had a whopping one hit.
That was his one hit.
Yeah. And then her father, Don Cherry, is a jazz musician.
Absolutely, yep.
And then, are they related to Ava Cherry? Is she who did a bunch of stuff with Bowie?
Wait a minute. Maybe they are. Yes, I think they are. I think they are. I think they're related, yeah.
So there you go.
All right, what about Robin?
Robin was another good one. This was... Sunday was pretty much reserved for pop music. Because mm-hmm. you had Robin, you had Charlie XCX. Those were the two headliners on Sunday. Robin performed with a full band, mm-hmm. which to me always makes a huge difference in terms of translating pop music live to an audience. I think it always suffers when it's just somebody out there singing in front of a backing track.
Yeah.
She had a full band, tons of costume changes. It was like an arena show on stage at a festival. It was great.
Oh, she was the headliner?
She was the headliner pretty much of the whole festival is how they were billing her, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she closed everything out on Sunday. She was on right after Charlie XCX.
And so how was that?
Charlie XCX was, so she was the polar opposite of Robin because she was the only performer on stage with a backing track. So it was two opposite ends of really how you're going to present pop music. But I would say both were pretty successful. Charlie XCX has a new album coming out, and she's another one. For pop music, if I'm going to have that crammed down my throat by radio, I can deal with Charlie XCX or Robin.
The only exposure that I've had to Charlie XCX is SNL.
Okay.
They were she was a musical guest on SNL.
I've seen her a bunch of times and it's always at festivals.
Yeah, I mean it was fine. She was good, you know?
She was opening, I think she opened the last leg of the Taylor Swift arena tour.
Oh, did she really?
Yeah, so.
Hey, speaking of arenas, last night Babs played.
Yeah,
at the United Center. And Barbara Streisand.
How old is she at this point?
She's in her 70s.
Okay.
Here's the thing that was surprising to me. Like, a lot of people on my news feed were there.
I had a couple in mine, too, I had no idea she was even coming
to
town.
I had no idea either.
I saw those photos.
And then Ariana Grande showed up.
Oh, did she perform with them?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't know what they sang together, but there's somebody posted some pictures of the two of them on stage.
That's a interesting combo.
But it was interesting. But what was funny is that there was like a wide-ranging group of people on my news feed.
Yeah. Same here.
Some that you would go, okay, I can understand why you're going to see Barbara Streisand. You know what I mean?
We're talking on my feet. It was guys in their 30s.
You know, yeah. And then I had like young people. Yeah. I was like, what's going on? I guess people love the Barbara.
I didn't know this was a thing.
Yeah. My mom adores.
My mom would have totally gone to that. My mom and my aunt would have been all over
that.
There's
no question about it. But that's my mom. She's in her 70s. So, you know, that makes sense that she would go. But, yeah, I had like, there was a bunch of.
I saw it too.
And a couple of hoopsters, I think, went. And wore their...
What's the appropriate jersey
for Barbara Streisand?
For a Barbara Streisand concert?
Oh, man, that's a tough one.
Yeah?
I don't know. maybe a bird. Maybe a Larry Bird.
Larry Bird.
Sure.
Larry Bird
works.
Yeah. All right.
Can't argue that.
How about McHale?
Sure.
Yeah. All right. Why did we go? Why suddenly was it a Boston thing? When did Barbara Streisand become associated with Boston?
With Boston.
Huge Celtic fan. Huge Celtics fan.
Little known facts about Streisand.
Oh, yeah. Well, I wonder how it was.
I've never seen her. The photo I saw was from somebody who was sitting up top, and clearly there was a huge band behind her.
Yeah.
So that would have at least been good.
I would imagine that, she could get any musician in the world that she wants to play with her.
Every time I see somebody from that generation, they're almost always, without fail, fantastic. Because I think at this point, it's muscle memory. They've been doing it for so long.
Oh, of course.
Like, they're just, it's in their blood. They're just fantastic performers.
No, there's no question about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really funny because a really dear friend of mine, a guy named Mitchell Fain, who is an actor, and I've done shows with him years ago, he is... as gay as you can possibly get. He was in all his glory last night, according to Facebook. Like a group of his friends went, and they were in heaven during the Barbara Streisand show.
Nice.
Which is fantastic, because Mitchell's a lovely guy, and he loves Barbara Streisand, obviously. And so I just can't imagine what it would be like to stand next to my friend Mitchell at a Barbara Streisand concert.
And I think, just watch the way he enjoys it.
Oh, my God. It would be unbelievable. And they had really good seats, too. So he...
I wonder what those cost, by the way.
I have no idea.
She's another one, I think, who's right up there every time she tours, raising the bar.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't even, I haven't even checked. I'm getting tickets, but I haven't even checked how much Madonna.
Oh man, those got to be
at the Chicago Theater, because I'm seeing her in the Chicago Theater.
No, that's unbelievable. How many nights is she doing?
Four.
Now?
She's doing four nights.
Is it only four?
I think it's four. I know I'm going. I don't care.
I want to cover one of those
so
bad.
If you've never, have you ever seen
one time at United Center?
For which tour do you remember?
It was the last one, the most recent one. So 2016,
MDNA. Yeah. I was there at that show. I've seen her five times.
Okay.
But I mean, just the fact that she's playing
small place.
Oh my God!
I haven't looked. Is that a full tour she's doing like that?
Yeah.
Or is this a
She's picking
a couple.
She's
markets
not.
And,
yeah. Big markets. Like she's doing L.A. I think she did L.A. already.
Okay.
And I think New York. She's doing a Radio City Music Hall in New York, and I think she's doing like over a week.
Wow. So, well, she could probably do two more.
Easily
in New York,
yeah. I mean, in New York, she could do a month.
Well, apparently, she's doing the Howard Gilman Opera House.
Where
in New York?
In New York,
yeah.
I thought she was doing Radio City.
Wow,
she may have already done it. I'm looking at the tour right now.
It's October. Yeah, it's October for us.
Yeah, she's going to be in New York City from September 12th to October 7th.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All at this opera house.
That makes sense. Now
you got Chicago
sense.
Theater here, Vegas at the doing the Coliseum at Caesars.
Oh man,
Wiltern Theater in L.A. The Met in Philadelphia, Wang Theater in Boston.
Wow,
I'm looking at the prices right now for Chicago Theater.
Yeah,
the VIP packages.
Uh huh.
Do you want to guess a range on this before I tell you?
$3,500.
I see. I'm surprised that it's not more. $753 to $999.
Is that all?
There's got to be.
Oh, well,
more.
That's face value. But that's face value, right?
That's face value.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's not what they're going for now, because you're not going to be able to get those.
You can get in the door for $256, which is less than I thought it would take to get in the door. Actually,
the last time I saw her, I paid $200. Last time I saw her, and I had good seats too.
And there's still seats left, unless I'm looking at all scalpers.
Well, that's
stuff.
Insane. Well, it's probably all scalpers.
Yeah.
Okay, we got a break here for the news. Jim, hang on. We'll talk more Madonna later. The news is coming up next. Song was written for Sean Penn. Yes, it was.
A love story for the ages.
Absolutely.
Involving a baseball bat, I think, right?
Yeah.
Allegedly?
Allegedly. They had a pretty tumultuous relationship, to say the least. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WG, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline studio that, of course, is the great Madonna, who's coming to town in October and playing the Chicago Theater, which is... very
That's
unusual.
That's unbelievable,
yeah. It really is. Jim Ryan is with us. He's a contributor to Forbes.com. He writes about music and interviews musicians and all kinds of cool stuff. Coming up later on, we're going to be talking about some of the best TV show catchphrases. We got another round of Know Your Onion coming up and much more. Before we get to Lollapalooza,
yeah.
What about this Cage the Elephant Back and Spoon?
Oh my God!
Tell us about that.
That's one that might be up until right now. Anyway, that's the show of the summer so far,
mm-hmm.
and we're kind of running out of time, so I don't know anything else can top it. Wild Bell from Chicago, Spoon, Cage the Elephant, and Beck. Mm. That's the package tour that stopped at Northerly Island last Wednesday, so the night before Lollapalooza. So Lollapalooza started for me Thursday, but. That whole week really started Wednesday at Northerly Island.
Well, tell me about
unbelievable.
Tell me about the show.
Cage the Elephant, I would say, has become one of the greatest live acts in America. They've been around since 2008, and they've amassed a crazy number of hit singles. And just live, their lead singer Matt Schultz is quite a stage presence. They did a set earlier in the afternoon at Reggie's in the South Loop in front of a couple hundred people, and then did the headlining set later that night at Northerly Island. At the end of the set, it was almost as if Matt Schultz of Cage the Elephant was challenging Beck, like, okay, top this, because Beck was headlining. He took a stage dive. He was channeling, you'll get this of all people, he was channeling Eddie Vedder in the early 90s.
Yeah.
Takes a stage dive and crowd surfs all the way from the stage to the back of the seated area, lands on the platform where the wheelchairs and stuff are set up, because from there he can climb onto the soundboard. So he climbs the rigging in the canopy for the soundboard and gets on top of the soundboard.
What?
And then starts climbing a lighting rig. He was a good 30 feet in the air by the time he got to the top of this lighting rig. And everybody's kind of looking like, what the hell is he going to do now?
Yeah.
He climbed down because it was too high
to dive,
even for an Eddie Vedder dive in the 90s.
Yeah.
Climbs down and then proceeded to stage to crowd surf back toward the stage. It was ridiculous, and it took like 20 minutes to do this entire thing, and it was,
wow.
I was like, I haven't seen something like this since like the 90s.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen Eddie Vedder scale a lot of crazy stuff back in the early days and drop from ceilings.
Right.
He dropped from the ceiling of the Metro, you know.
Were you at that show, the Metro show?
Yeah, I saw him at the Metro a couple times.
Wow.
This was like the first time I saw Pearl Jam. Was before 10 came out.
Isn't there one of them where they're on the same bill as Nirvana?
Nirvana, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Were you at that one?
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
He did. And when they played Lollapalooza, when Lollapalooza was the touring thing.
In the 90s,
and they played the Tweeter Center, whatever it's called. Yeah. What's it called now?
Hollywood Casino Amphitheater.
Okay, that place in Tinley Park. He climbed out. He was on top of he was like
the pavilion.
Yeah.
Oh man.
He was climbing around on that like a lunatic, and that was at the Lollapalooza 92. Was it 91? 91.
That was 91.
91.
No, 92. They were on the second one. I don't think the first one, right?
Yeah. No, the first one was 91, right?
First one was 91.
Yeah, so that was 92 because it was Soundgarden,
Jane's Addiction.
Pearl Jam, Jane's Addiction, Chili Peppers.
Nine Inch Nails.
No, Chili Peppers? No, yeah, Nine Inch Nails.
Nine Inch Nails. Ministry?
Now,
I believe
was Ministry. I'm getting confused because
I'm getting the first two confused.
Well, I get the because I went to like the first four.
Okay,
first yeah,
Ice-T and Ice Cube. I think were on the first two.
Yeah, there was the one where Primus.
Okay, that's
played.
The third one. I think
Primus played.
I do have the lineup if you want the.
Okay, what do we got? This is 91.
Are you looking? This is 92 was Chili Peppers, Ministry, Ice Cube, Soundgarden, Jesus and Mary Chain, Pearl Jam, Alice in Chains, and Lush. And then you had on the side stage, like Rage Against the Machine, Tool, Smashing Pumpkins.
On the side stage.
Yeah.
Wow.
Cypress Hill. Nine Inch Nails were there. Temple of the Dog.
Well, sure. Both bands are there.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean, why not do some Temple of the Dog?
Is that probably the only times, I don't remember Temple of the Dog tours. That might have been some of the only live shows
Temple of the Dog, they did not tour. Or at least they never came to Chicago.
So that might have been, then they did the reunion stuff a couple years ago, which didn't come here. But that doesn't even count.
Yeah.
But,
well, I mean, the Soundgarden and Pearl Jam are there. So you
might as well.
Yeah.
Might as well go kick out a little hunger strike.
Yeah,
why
exactly.
Not?
Why not? And then there was the year that Fishbone played.
That was the third one, yeah.
And I was, when was Arrested Development on that?
They were on, I think, that third one too, yeah.
That's 93.
Oh, no, they were on, yeah.
What was that's it? What was the lineup there?
Primus, Alice in Chains, Dinosaur Jr., Fishbone, Arrested Development, Front 242, George Clinton, Babes in Toyland, Tool, and Rage Against the Machine.
I went in 94, which was the fourth one. So it was Smashing Pumpkins, the Beastie Boys, Tribe Called Quest, Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, The Breeders, The Boredoms, L7, and George Clinton and the P-Funk All-Stars.
Right. Wow, you just nailed it.
I went to the first four.
Okay.
Of Lollapalooza.
Those are some great lineups.
No, they were great. It was great, especially at that time.
And everybody always says, you know, it's alternative, 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 but we just mentioned several rappers. We mentioned a funk legend.
Yeah.
There was, you know, industrial. There was those lineups, I think, back then did a nice job of exposing some different sounds to people.
Yeah, they did. And now it's turned into a monstrous nightmare in this city. All right, how was Beck?
Oh, Beck was wonderful. He did, the set was very similar to what he did last year at Riot Fest. But he's up there with a full band, and I think people forget, like, Beck is a pretty good guitar player. Beck can sing, Beck can dance, he can do all these things in addition to just having, you know, a couple of hits in the 90s. And he's another one who's never stopped. He's got so many hits now, it's ridiculous. I mean, he headlined, I think, about an hour and a half, and it is just, I mean, he's another one where I could tell you songs he didn't play that are hits, and it's just, it's ridiculous.
I've never been a Beck guy.
Have you ever seen him live?
No.
So last year at Riot Fest, he was headlining, and I was with a bunch of people who all said the exact same thing. Like, I have no interest in seeing Beck. I'm like, yeah, you should see him live. And everybody walked out of there like, that was fantastic.
Mm. Yeah. I just, you know, he's never been. The only album that I like is the one that was all the breakup album.
Sea like Change?
Unbelievable with, record.
He did, what's the single from that song? Lost Cause?
Yeah.
He did Lost Cause, Solo Electric.
Yeah, see that. I like that. I like that album because it's depressing.
Yeah,
and
terrific though.
Yeah, no, it is
a strange dude though.
Scientologist. Yeah. Well, so is Elizabeth Moss. Don't hold that against her. what about Spoon?
Spoon's they're another one. I love. Like, I'd only seen Spoon at festivals, and I want to see them indoors now because this was another one where they're just fantastic. I mean, they've. There's that hint of psychedelic stuff in their music, but I think there's a lot of power pop influence there, and just their dynamite. 40 minutes was not enough at Northerly Island. I could have easily done twice that.
Yeah.
So it was great. And then Chicago's own Wild Bell opened. It was really, that's the best show I've seen all summer.
Very cool. All right. That sounds like a great lineup right there. And even though it was at
Northerly
Island.
You have to navigate that place.
Which we bitch about every single time that you're on the show.
Comes up. Yeah.
We complain about how bad Northerly Island is.
There's just no good way to get in there.
No,
you can't.
Did you go to Dave in July?
Alpine.
You went to Alpine?
I went to Alpine.
What was
July
the set list? Was it a good set list? That's my birthday.
It was a great set list. Broke out the Sledgehammer cover.
Nice.
Which is always shockingly good.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Alpine was one of the only dates on the entire tour that had an opener. Preservation Hall Jazz Band was the opening
act.
Oh,
that's cool.
And then so they brought him out and they did a couple songs with them during the set too.
Yeah.
So it was.
That's cool.
It was quite great. At Alpine Valley, they can. I think that's the reason it had the opening act. There's no curfew there.
No
they
curfew,
can play
yeah.
longer. They can do kind of whatever they want there.
Yeah.
The parking lot was certainly evidence that not only can the band do anything they want on stage, but you can do whatever you want in the parking lot,
too. Yeah, yeah. The tailgating at Dave shows is pretty legendary. Yeah,
especially at that place.
Especially at Alpine, yeah.
We got there at about 4 o'clock for a 7:30 show.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe how far back we were already parked. We were parked right inside the gates because people had been partying there for hours already.
People start real early at Dave shows because it's a full weekend. Like, if you're going to go, because he always, you know, they always come around the 4th of July.
Right.
Always. I've seen them on my birthday like 3 times over the years. That show that you're talking about took place on my birthday.
Okay.
And it's always like between the 4th and the 8th of July. That's when they always hit Chicago or the Chicago area. But they did play Northerly Island and Alpine.
Yeah. Tinley and Alpine.
Oh, they played Tinley?
They played Tinley. Mm. I guess Dave, my buddy went to the Tinley shows and the Alpine shows, and he said Dave seemed to be not thrilled about being back in Tinley Park.
Yeah.
That he just kept, he goes, I think it was tongue-in-cheek, but Dave just kept, you know, it's great to be back in Tinley. Like, just kept saying it over and over. And they didn't do any hits. I guess the set list is... For you or I, it was probably a great set list, but for somebody who wanted to go here, what would you say in Ants Marching? It was not a great set list. And that was
Tinley
Park.
Well, you know what? I think that's pretty awesome.
Me too. That's why. So. Here you go.
Yeah.
I got to come here. This is what you hear.
Yeah, you're not going to hear Crash.
Nope.
So you and your girlfriend are not going to hug while we play that song, which is what happens every time.
Yeah.
And that's the pee song.
The pee song. Oh,
yeah, that's when you go pee.
That's when
you go pee. It's like when Crash starts. And not that I don't love that song. Because I do.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, now this is where everybody's going to hold up their beer and they're going to hug their significant other and sway back and forth.
Spill the beer
and they'll make out. People will be furiously making out during that. That's my opportunity to go and pee. That's always, it's so funny too because the, The last time I saw, I can't remember the last time I saw Dave. It was a couple of years ago. And there was an exodus when that song started. I'm not kidding. It was all guys. We're all like, yeah.
Time to.
Like all single guys going right to the can when Crash started.
Speaking of Dave Matthews and the can, tomorrow's a very important anniversary for Dave Matthews.
I'm going
to
bring this up. What? Everybody has to bring this up.
I think it's kind of funny.
Well, you know, the thing is, it's first of all, I know Dave is, you know, obviously going to be associated with that
it's
forever.
It's not his fault.
No, it's not. They hired a moron.
It's the bus driver's fault.
They hired a moron bus driver.
Yeah.
The thing about it is that what makes it so sort of aggravating and that this happened and that it continues to be brought up is that Dave is one of the most environmentally friendly bands on the planet. And they give tons of money to causes like that. And to have somebody dump a bunch of crap into the Chicago River and onto a tourist boat, to have that associated with Dave Matthews Band is insane.
It's
insane.
Funny, though.
Yeah, I don't find it funny.
I
don't find it funny. But anyway,
they had a beer special, by the way, at Alpine Valley. They were calling it value beer for the Dave fans in attendance who didn't want to buy. Expensive 24-ounce cans.
What is value beer?
Value beer was Busch Light for $4.
Wow.
$4 Busch Lights at Alpine Valley.
That's a value beer.
That's like hopping in a time machine
back to
1984.
Oh, I can't imagine how drunk the crowd was. Oh, man, because people get loaded on $10 beers at Dave shows.
Yep.
I remember going to Soldier Field. I went 2 days in a row where they played Soldier Field. I remember going to Soldier Field, and it was... Buddy Guy opened.
Oh, I remember when Buddy Guy opened.
And so we got there, and it was still sunlight, and people were falling down the stairs. They were just like, oh, they were just completely hammered. I'm like, why? Dave's not going to be on for like another 2 hours, and you already can't stand
up. Well, that's what this was like. I mean, when we pulled into that parking lot at 4 p.m., and people had clearly already been at it for hours, and there was not an employee or officer or anything to be seen. I was like, man, Alpine's a free-for-all.
People get loaded at Dave Matthews shows.
It seriously felt like 1975 in that parking lot.
Even as big a drinker as I was, I never got, you know, concerts were not a place where I got loaded. I mean, I've been drunk many times, and I was a heavy, heavy, heavy drinker. But when I'm dropping a lot of money on a concert, I want to remember it.
Right.
I'll get drunk afterwards. That's what I used to do. But people who get hammered before the first song starts, I'm like, what are you doing?
I remember seeing Dave Matthews in Tinley Park. My mom paid me to take my brother, and we were in the lawn, and somebody that was in his group of high school kids was passed out on a blanket in the lawn section during Government Mule's opening set.
There you go.
Didn't even make it to Dave.
Very memorable evening.
Mm-hmm.
All right, hang on, Jim. getting drunk at a Dave Matthews show. We could do a full 5 hours on that, but we're not gonna. We're gonna jump back in. We're gonna get to Lollapalooza and what Jim saw there. We're also gonna play a round of Music IQ. I wanna be Sledgehammer. Dave.
It was great, though.
It's fantastic.
They do a nice job of that. We got all along the Watchtower, too. So.
Oh, it's always a treat to get Watchtower, man. And it's a nice 22-minute version of it.
Yep.
And Tom's not a fan of Dave. Not a fan. And you got two total Dave dorks here.
Listen, I respect the band. I just don't respect Dave.
I love the man.
Love them. Man. I enjoy it every year.
I do too, man. I think they're great. They're seriously some of the greatest musicians on the planet are in that band. Carter Beauford's the best drummer on the planet.
I love the way they've been able to evolve their sound kind of post Boyd Tinsley.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been good.
Yeah. All right. Well, Jim, Lollapalooza.
Yes.
You're still recovering.
As I put it every year, Nick, I go so you don't have to.
Exactly. Thank you very much. What were some of the highlights for you?
Janelle Monáe. That was my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite performance of the weekend. Childish Gambino was fantastic, but Janelle Monáe was my favorite of the weekend.
Yeah. She's great.
She's amazing. She's another one who just does everything. I mean, there was elements of Janet Jackson in her dancing. There was elements of Prince in her guitar playing. Her band is just unbelievable and reminds me of, like, you know, they channeled James Brown up there. And then there's her, who's a great singer and songwriter, her new album that's out, Dirty Computer, which is terrific, which really pushes pop music to me in a weird, really good direction. Mm-hmm. She collaborated with Brian Wilson on it, with Stevie Wonder. And then it came,
wow,
out, it came out after the fact that Prince had worked all over it right before he passed away.
Holy cow.
So her new album is unbelievable. And
she's also a pretty impressive actress.
Yes.
You know?
She can do everything.
Yeah. Wow, that's great. So Childish Gambino, speaking of actors.
He's another one. Like, I had no idea he... I mean, I know the music, and I enjoy, you know, Redbone is fantastic, but I had no idea he was able to, that he was quite the performer he is musically. That band is so incredibly well rehearsed with him. I mean, he spent more time off the stage in the crowd than he did on it, and he's halfway out from the stage, you know, into the crowd, stopping the band on a dime with, you know, without even looking at him, just throwing up a hand gesture, wow, or whatever, and they're stopping, and he's got them, you know, changing tempo, and, you know, he's calling out all of his changes from halfway back in the crowd. I'm like, this is not a polished rehearsed set. They are operating in the moment. Like, yeah, it was in lockstep.
He's an extraordinarily talented guy.
He had a full choir up there, a full band. I mean, it was dynamite.
And I love Childish Gambino, but, you know, he's just so unbelievably multi-talented.
Can you imagine being that good at that many different things?
It's crazy.
Acting, comedy,
it's
writing,
crazy.
Singing,
directing,
music, like everything.
Mean, Atlanta just got renewed for a fourth season. Yes.
God.
And best show on TV.
I'm jealous of someone like that.
He's ridiculous, man. And I remember, look, he's funny on Community.
Right.
Oh, that's great. And then, like, wait a minute, what?
Little did we know, like, we were totally, like, just barely scratching the surface.
Yeah, no, he's an extraordinarily talented guy.
Yeah, he's probably, of all the headliners, he certainly stole the show. Your headliners Thursday were the Strokes and the Chainsmokers. I didn't go see the Chainsmokers, but the Strokes were wonderful.
Yeah.
I had never seen them before. I've seen members of the Strokes solo.
Yeah.
And I've heard they can be hit or miss live. They were very much hit on Thursday.
I've never seen them.
Yeah, neither have I until this. And they were great. I think Albert Hammond Jr., the guitar player, he's rhythm guitar player in the Strokes, but he's come into his own kind of over the course of four solo albums now. And he's, you know, the Strokes are very much garage rock.
Yeah.
That look down at the stage while you're playing. There's really not a lot. They're not a compelling, you know,
right,
presence on stage.
Right.
And Albert Hammond Jr. has kind of become the one guy in that band you watch and go, oh, look at, he's doing things up there. He's moving around. But they were great. Didn't see the Chainsmokers. Friday was Childish Gambino. He was unbelievable. Saturday, your headliner was 21 Pilots.
Mm-hmm.
I got out of there early to go see the Revivalists at the Vic Theater.
Okay.
Are you familiar with the Revivalists?
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, they're an 8-piece group out of New Orleans, horn section, two drummers. As a Dave fan, I think they'd be right up your alley.
Yeah.
They just opened for the Stones in Florida, and they were wonderful at Lollapalooza.
Oh, cool.
Performed Sunday in front of an end gun violence backdrop. Mm. There were a couple artists on Sunday who were pretty vocal about that.
Yeah.
Kacey Musgraves being the other one.
She's unbelievable.
Yeah, and she was terrific, too. Like, she's another one who's really kind of, you know, pushing, you know.
I think she's great.
She's kind of pushed out of that country mold and is headed more toward pop, but...
Oh, I think she's great.
In a really great way.
I think she's great. Yeah. Okay, hang on, Jim. All right, Jim is with us. Jim Ryan. We'll find out more about Lollapalooza, some other stuff. We're also going to play a round of Music IQ. That's all coming up after the news, which is coming up right after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to be talking about some of the best TV show catchphrases. We've got Superfans Who Went Too Far and another edition of Know Your Onion. That's all coming up. Right now, though, we're talking with Jim Ryan. You can read his stuff at Forbes.com. Follow him on Twitter at Radio Jim Ryan. And we're talking music, Lollapalooza, and we're going to play a little bit of Music IQ.
Yes.
As we do every time Jim comes in. So what other things do you want to talk about covering the Lollapalooza show?
Sunday, one of my favorite artists of the weekend, selfishly, was one of my favorite guitarists ever, and that would be Slash from Guns N' Roses.
Oh,
Slash,
sure,
was performing Sunday, and he was fantastic. Did 1 hour. We heard Gary Clark Jr. there coming back from the break, and he was pretty great on Saturday.
Yeah.
Closed with a cover of Come Together. So Gary Clark Jr. covering some Beatles.
That's pretty cool.
That was pretty good. One of the funniest things I saw all weekend, as you've got two main stages, one on the north end of the park, one on the south end. The south one is down by, like, Roosevelt. The one on the north end is up almost near Monroe. So it's very difficult to catch. You kind of have to pick one or the other. It's
right.
Difficult to catch parts of both of them. So if you see a gigantic, ridiculous, unbelievably large crowd on one end of the park, it means that someone else is performing to almost nobody.
Yeah.
On the other end. Case in point was Saturday. The biggest crowd I saw the entire weekend, bigger than the crowd I saw at Childish Gambino Friday, and this wasn't even a headliner. This was at like 6 o'clock in the afternoon, was Lil Wayne.
Really?
The crowd for Lil Wayne was unbelievable on Saturday. And somebody had said it to me in the media tent earlier in the day. They were like, why is Lil Wayne not headlining? I was like, Lil Wayne really is a headliner? Then I got there at 6 o'clock and saw you couldn't even get into the softball pits on the south end. It was that crazy.
Wow.
So I headed north to catch the opposite of that, which was Tenacious D performing to almost nobody.
Well, that makes me
sad. It was
a
very small crowd for
that
Tenacious
makes me sad.
D
I love Tenacious D.
Lollapalooza.
How were they?
They were okay.
Yeah.
They were. It was one of those things, too. I'm like, those songs came out pre-Me Too. I'm like, can they play some of these songs anymore? How do they deliver these songs in 2019?
And, yeah.
You know, the one in particular.
Yeah.
They closed with that one.
Of course they
gently,
did.
Gently. So.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. So they still did it. That was entertaining. And then Perry Farrell closed everything out on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
The Kind Heaven Orchestra. He had about 15 people on stage with him, which he did a couple of Jane's Addiction songs. I heard him do Stop. He did some Porno for Pyro stuff. He did Pets. Do they require 15 people to pull those off? The answer is no. And if there were 15 people on stage, there were 50 people watching it. There was nobody watching
it. One of the weirdest shows I've ever gone to was Porno for Pyros.
Okay. Where was this at, by the way?
The Riv.
Okay.
And it was just weird. I mean, he had clowns on stage, and during one of the songs, the clown was like cutting his face, looking in a mirror and cutting his face with a razor blade and laughing. And I'm like, what the hell is going on here?
Oh my God.
And he didn't play any Jane's Addiction.
Okay.
It was just all Porno for Pyros.
Well, I'm not kidding. There were about 15 people on stage and 60 to 80 people watching it.
Yeah. There were a bunch of people on stage for the Porno for Pyros thing, too. And they were all, like, in weird costumes, and they were all just being weird.
These were all players. He had a horn section and a lot of percussion. It seemed a little unnecessary, but he has a new album out, so check that out.
Okay. All right. So, overall, how was Lolla this year for you?
No, not bad. It was nice to see. My thing with Lollapalooza is that ever since it's gone to 4 days, I feel like the schedule's been a little bit watered down as a result. The last time it was 3 days, you had headliners like, I think it was Metallica and Paul McCartney.
Right.
And now you have 21 Pilots, and it's nothing against 21 Pilots, but I think there's a little bit of difference there in the quality of the act.
Yeah.
And I think as far as earlier in the day, you're less liable to see something, you know, dynamite than you were when it was 3 days. So that's my only thing on it. The big special guest of the weekend, by the way, was Death Cab for Cutie brought out Chance the Rapper.
Oh, okay.
Ben Gibbard is on the new Chance the Rapper album, so there's the connection there. But Lolla was good. It's always fun. I always see music I probably wouldn't pop up on my radar elsewhere.
Right.
And I think at the end of the day, that's a good thing.
Okay. All right. A caller texted in, did Jim see Slightly Stupid at Northerly Island?
I did not.
Ah.
Okay. No, I did not. Okay. I saw them a couple years ago open for 311, though, at Northerly Island.
Okay. So, all right. Are we ready to play a little music IQ?
Sure.
We do this every time Jim is here. Let's start with the red questions.
Okay.
The red side of the card. We'll each ask some questions to one another. Jim, you ask Tom, right?
Yeah, that'll work.
Tom asks me, and I ask you.
There you go.
So we'll start it off. Are you ready?
I am.
All right. All right. Superstition, Sir Duke, Higher Ground, You Are the Sunshine of My Life are all hit songs from this 22-time Grammy Award winner.
Travis Tritt.
Who is it? Is it Stevie Wonder, Frank Sinatra, or Ray Charles?
That would be Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was Al Jorgensen.
Al Jorgensen. All right.
He's good.
God, all right.
Tom, here we go. Which artist released the album OG Original Gangster, considered to be a cornerstone album of the gangster rap genre? Would that be Ice Cube, T-Pain, or Ice-T?
I'm going to say Ice-T.
That is correct.
Okay.
Released in 1991.
I was kind of nervous for a second.
Really?
Yeah, well, I'm not as well versed in that world.
You also weren't born yet when that record came out.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly. Ask me about Britney Spears.
Okay.
All right, Nick. Where is the Eurovision contest held each year? Is it Stockholm, Helsinki, or in the winning country from the previous edition?
Yeah, Nick.
How come I didn't get an OG question? Stockholm.
That is incorrect. It is held in the winning country from the previous edition.
Oh, man.
You're not watching Eurovision every year?
Yeah, I don't watch Eurovision every year. All right, after the first question, one for Tom, one for Jim, zero for your host. All right, are you ready?
Yes.
What is considered to be the signature song of, God, R&B artist Aretha Franklin? Is that It's Raining Men... Raining Men, At Last, or Respect?
Let's go with Respect.
You think?
I think.
Considering that the other two aren't by Aretha Franklin. All right. It's Raining Men. You guys know who wrote It's Raining Men, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Paul Schaefer.
There you go.
Yeah. You gotta love that. Okay.
Tom, going back to more rap here, who was the first rap artist to receive an Oscar? Was it Grandmaster Flash? Was it Jay-Z? Or was it Eminem?
Huh. And it's Eminem.
That is correct. Yeah. Won the Oscar for Best Song in 2002 with the soundtrack of his autobiographical film, 8 Mile.
That's right. Lose Yourself.
I can never get... I always think it would be Juicy J for Hustle and Flow.
Yeah.
All That's right.
One, my favorite ever. Jon Stewart was the host that year. And after they, what the hell is the name of the mafia? What the hell is the name?
Three Six Mafia.
Yeah.
Whatever the hell the name is. 3-6 Mafia. He comes out after they win the Academy Award. They win the Academy Award. He comes out and he goes, 3-6 Mafia, 1, Martin Scorsese, 0. I still remember that to this day.
I love Jon Stewart.
Like, he's the best. And it's 3-6 Mafia.
Yeah.
Won an Oscar before Martin Scorsese did.
Maybe he should have written It's Hard Out Here for a Pimp.
Oh, God. All right.
Okay. Nick, I think this is a slightly out-of-date question or a poorly worded one, so I feel like
And of course I get it.
So bear with us.
So all I'm going to say is I think I'd be willing to accept two answers.
Oh, okay.
Why did why did Alan Thicke's son hit song Blurred Lines cause significant controversy? It contained plagiarized material. Its lyrics and video clip bothered women, or its video clip had been financed by a famous cigarette brand.
It's the first one, the plagiarized material.
Now, here's why I think this is a poorly worded question.
Already see this round's going to be under protest, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, the answer on the card is its lyrics and video clip bothered women, which is also true.
Right.
So I don't know.
Well, if it's...
Do we have a commissioner?
If we... Yeah, commissioner.
Yeah.
If it's not that way on the card, then I got it wrong.
All right, you got it wrong.
Okay.
Man. Sorry.
All right. All right. You ready?
I am.
Come on, man.
He's just getting gimmies.
Who is Paul Hewson? Flea, the bassist of Red Hot Chili Peppers, Sting, or Bono, the lead singer of U2?
Bonovox.
That's right.
What All right.
God's name. I'm getting questions about Blurred Lines.
In Eurovision.
And Eurovision.
Going back to the hip-hop well once more, Tom, are you ready?
Yeah, hit me.
To hip-hop fans, what were the 1990s? The Glorious Ten, the Immortals, or the Golden Age? I've never heard it referred to as this.
I'm going to say the Glorious Ten?
I'm sorry, the correct answer is the Golden Age. Here's the factoid on the card. It says the 90s were a time of wealth, diversity, quality, innovation, and influence when it came to hip-hop culture.
Yeah, and that's right around the time I stepped out. I stopped listening to hip-hop right around the time The Chronic came out.
Okay.
That was when I was like... Okay.
Not a big fan of The Chronic?
No. There's a few hip-hop stuff that came out after The Chronic that I like, but before that, like in the 80s and the early to mid-90s, I was all about hip-hop.
What is it about The Chronic that turns you off?
I don't know. It all sounds the same now.
Okay.
And I'm not. I don't think Dre's all that great. I like Snoop more as a personality than as a rapper.
Okay.
But everything sounds like The Chronic. Everything at that point after The Chronic came out, everything sounded like The Chronic, and it was all featuring this person and featuring that person and featuring this person. Just shut up, and I'll put on Fear of a Black Planet by P.E. and I'm happy.
Well, Public Enemy is amazing.
Well, they're
give
the
you
best.
That.
Okay. What's next?
All right, Nick.
Yeah.
Rapper Drake was born and raised in which country? Is it
finally okay?
Puerto Rico, the USA, or Canada?
He is a Canadian person.
That he is, yes. and a Raptors fan.
Yes,
big
he
time.
Is.
Yeah. Big time. They had to calm him down on the side. He was like, "Hey, calm down on the side there."
He was a little rambunctious,
jumping out onto the court and everything, running around like a lunatic. Is he a Leafs fan?
I don't think he watches.
I don't know.
Hockey.
I don't remember.
Where's he from in Canada? Maybe he's an Oilers fan. I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I believe he's from Toronto.
He should be a Leafs fan then, right?
I don't know if he's a hockey fan.
What? You legally can't be Canadian and not like hockey. They will kick you out of the country.
Yeah.
All right. You ready?
I am.
Here's what we got. You guys both have three, and I have one. All right, when it comes to playing the guitar, what is Paco de Lucia known for? Her tremolos? Oh, wait, his tremolos, his aggressions, or his fast finger work?
Let me go with the tremolos.
It's the finger work.
Oh, good to know.
Yeah.
Ouch.
You'd be the... The light of the party with that little fact. Yeah. All right, next.
All right, Tom, in inches, what is the diameter of a 45 RPM vinyl record? Is it 6.5 inches, 10 inches, or 7 inches?
The answer is 10 inches.
And just go ahead and grab this clip right now, Tom.
Yeah.
The correct answer is 7 inches. The recording track is 6.5 inches wide. Vinyl sales have made a significant comeback since 2006.
All right.
And that'll be on Straight Out of Context when?
For Friday.
Yeah, this Friday.
Okay,
yeah,
perfect.
This
Friday.
All right, let's get our last question here in round one.
Okay.
Which famous musical artist played his last concert at the Montreux Jazz Festival in 1991 before going to the big stage in the sky? Was that...
Did you ad-lib that, or is that on the card?
It's on the card, man. Okay. Kurt Cobain, Freddie Mercury, or Miles Davis?
What was the beginning of the question again?
Which famous musical artist played his last concert at the Montreux Jazz Festival?
Going Miles Davis.
Yeah, what? Okay. I mean, how would... First of all, Kurt Cobain,
Cobain
died in 94. Freddie Mercury die...
So Kurt wasn't solo at a jazz festival?
No, he wasn't.
Just checking.
Ridiculous. Okay. All right.
Tom, how many people have gathered at the Woodstock Festival in 1969? Was it over a million? Was it roughly half a million? Or was it roughly 200,000?
Oh, jeez.
Could call Pettengill.
Yeah, I wish I could. I'm going to say roughly half a million.
That is correct.
Wow.
Roughly
nice.
Half a million.
Okay.
How many will be at Woodstock 50?
Zero.
Yep. Okay. Last question before we break.
All right, last one here. The song New York, I Love You, But You're Bringing Me Down is by whom? Is it Jay-Z, the Beastie Boys, or LCD Sound System?
I'm going to say LCD Sound System.
That is correct.
All right.
Yeah.
One of my favorite bands of all time.
Okay. All right, at the end of the first round, Tom has 4, Jim has 4, I have 2.
It's going to take a big final round, Nick.
It's going to take a big final round, which we'll do after this. Right, welcome back, everybody. We are back, and it's the 30th anniversary right?
That's crazy.
30th anniversary of Do the Right Thing, 30th anniversary of Fear of the Black Planet.
Yep, yeah.
I'm doing them, wow.
Jeez. Or, no, not Fear of the Black Planet came out in 90, but...
Nation of Millions?
No, that was 88. But no, but the single Fight the Power came out in 89, but it ended up on the album Fear of a Black Planet.
Wow.
Mm. So, coming up, years. The stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All right. We're back for round two. We'll try to get it in before 3 o'clock. If not, then we'll just wrap it up afterwards. Tom has four, Jim has four, and I have two. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Here's our next question. Jim Ryan is here, and we're playing a little music ID. Where did Lisa Left Eye Lopez get the TLC of TLC get her nickname? After getting into a fight in high school, her left eye was black and blue. Her boyfriend noticed that her left eye was bigger than her right, or as a child, she wore a patch on her left eye.
There's an Andre Rison joke in there, but I'm making it. I'm going to go with the patch.
It is no.
Really?
Her boyfriend noticed that her left eye was bigger than her right.
Okay.
Yeah. And then she burned his house down. Okay.
Dope.
Hashtag Andre Rison.
Exactly. Okay, next, Jim, go ahead.
All right, Tom, which of Michael Jackson's pets was named Crusher? Was it his elephant, his python, or his chihuahua? Crusher.
I feel like Michael Jackson probably had a pretty good sense of irony, so I'm going to say the chihuahua.
I'm sorry, the correct answer is python.
Python.
He had a python named Crusher alongside his monkey Bubbles, his llama Lewis, and his rat Ben.
Of course, his rat was named Ben.
Have you seen the Eddie Murphy Comedians in Cars where he tells a story about Bubbles?
No, I've not seen it.
He tells a story about Bubbles. You should really watch it.
No, I will. I love that show, and I just haven't seen that one. Okay.
All right, Nick. Yeah. Which Elvis Costello song served as inspiration for a book title? Is it The Angels Want to Wear My Red Shoes, Man Out of Time, or Less Than Zero?
Man Out of Time?
That is incorrect.
Less than zero.
Less Than Zero by Bret Easton Ellis, your favorite.
Which was turned into a really crappy movie.
Uh-huh.
All right. Who said, we're not arrogant, we just believe we're the best band in the world?
Oasis. No.
Well, Paul McCartney, The Beatles, Bono, U2, or Noel Gallagher, Oasis?
I'm going Noel Gallagher.
You're absolutely right.
Yes.
Of course it's that. Of course it is.
He's in town next week.
Good for him. All right, Jim, go ahead.
All right, Tom. In what big German city did the Beatles play for almost 2 years before becoming famous? Was it Munich, Hamburg, or Berlin?
I'm going to say Hamburg.
It is Hamburg. They played the Indra Club in August of 60.
There you go. All right, what's next here?
All right, next is who sang Take My Hand, Precious Lord during the funeral of Martin Luther King? Was it Aretha Franklin, Ella Fitzgerald, or Mahalia Jackson?
Mahalia Jackson.
That is correct.
That was going to be my guess. Nicely done, Nick.
All right, Jim, you ready?
Yes.
Which Huey Lewis hit was featured on the soundtrack of Back to the Future? Was it Do You Believe in Love, The Power of Love, or Doing It All for My Baby?
The Power of Love.
Exactly right.
Doing It All for My Baby.
Doing It All for My Baby. You got to love Huey, man. All right.
Tom, in which film should we have been able to hear Pink Floyd's song Adam, Heart, Mother, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Apocalypse Now, or A Clockwork Orange?
Ah, jeez.
Pink Floyd.
What were the three choices again?
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Apocalypse Now, and A Clockwork Orange.
I'm going to say Clockwork Orange.
That is correct.
Oh, okay. Good stuff.
Nicely done.
All right.
Nick, which British comic book artist founded the virtual band Gorillaz in 1998?
I'm not going to know this.
Is it James Jarvis, Frank Miller, or Jamie Hewlett?
I don't know this one either.
James Jarvis.
That's incorrect. It was Jamie Hewlett.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Not a big Gorillaz fan.
You're not getting the big round you needed, Nick.
six. You guys are both tied at six. I have three.
Okay.
Here we go. Which classical composer penned the melody used in the Beach Boys song Lady Linda? Would that be Johann Sebastian Bach, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, or Ludwig van Beethoven?
Bach.
That's exactly right.
Lucky guess.
A lucky guess is right. All right, go ahead, Jim.
Tom, which artist worked as a typist for his father for $40 a week before launching his solo career? Was it Tom Waits, Marvin Gaye, or Lou Reed?
I'm going to say Tom Waits.
It is not Tom Waits. It's Lou Reed. It's said that his parents administered electroshock therapy to fight off some tendencies of his, hence the origins. Wow, this keeps going. Never mind.
Okay. All right. All right.
Okay. Who is behind the band Rocket Juice and the Moon?
Oh, I know this.
Is it Tom York, Jarvis Cocker, or Damon Albarn?
Tom York?
That is incorrect. It was Damon Albarn from Blur.
Okay. I wouldn't have
and Gorillaz.
With Erykah Badu and Flea. It's awesome.
Steve Reich, Lamonte Young, Terry Riley, and Philip Glass are often called pioneers of what musical genre from the 60s? Would that be modernism, minimal music, or soft rock?
Minimal music.
That's exactly right.
Soft rock. Okay. Yacht rock.
Okay. All right. Now, by the way, Jim won. You can't win.
Yeah.
Oh,
great.
We still want to finish it off real quick before we get to the news.
Tom, the final question. Which band's first major success spurred when an Australian radio station broadcasted a copied version of their song? Was it London Grammar, Half Moon Run, or Mighty Oaks?
Mighty Oaks.
Sorry, the correct answer is London Grammar.
Ah.
Okay.
And then, Nick.
This is it.
Who bought the rights to the legendary TV show Soul Train after 35 years of broadcast, ending in 2006? Was it Quincy Jones, Pharrell Williams, or Irvin Magic Johnson?
Please tell me it's not Magic.
Pharrell Williams.
Nah, it's Magic.
Oh, of course it is. Okay. Of course it is.
Soul Train. Jim, thanks for coming down, man.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll talk to you soon. Have fun. And everybody can check out, you got Radio Jim Ryan. You can follow it on Twitter. And you can go to Forbes.com and
That's
read
correct.
Your stuff. Yep. Okay, cool. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Nick.
All right, there you go. Jim Ryan. And the news is up in a couple of minutes.